It's been a while since we've been on this New Hampshire Confession of Faith that our church adopted at our inception. We're on this Article 10 of Sanctification. Article 10 of Sanctification. And if you've got the updated sheet, it's got the date 5/13/15 right there by it. Is there anybody that needs a sheet? Anybody need one? We've got extras. All right. All right. Joseph wants another. I bet he's got 10 of them under his bed at home. There you go. All right. Make sure I'm giving you the one that works. Anybody else? Anybody else? How many you want me to give him, Stephen? Want me to give him about a half a dozen? All right. This article of sanctification, Article 10, it states, "We believe that sanctification is the process by which, according to the will of God, we are made partakers of His holiness, that it is a progressive work, that it is begun in regeneration, and that it is carried on in the hearts of believers by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the sealer and comforter, and the continual use of the appointed means, especially the Word of God, self-examination, self-denial, watchfulness, and prayer." We've gone through the first two portions of this. We believe that sanctification is a process by which, according to the will of God, we are made partakers of His holiness, that it is a progressive work. As I've said early on in our consideration of this article, that we are working toward perfection. We are working toward and should be obtaining maturity. Okay? There's no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. We will not be bestowed, sinless perfection will not be bestowed upon us until we leave this old body behind and we are with our Lord. And then when we have that new body that He'll give us at the resurrection, then we will have also a body that will be sinless. It'll be a body like unto Christ. We are working toward perfection, but in this body, never attaining it. But don't dismay. Pursue, okay? Pursue. It's the Lord's will that we are here in this state, okay? It's not a mistake that we are found in this way. You know, we've talked about that here a lot in recent months and about how it is we're here, two natures at hand, the old man and the new man. And that's by the design and will of God. We even got some understanding about that in Romans chapter 8, didn't we? We would have never volunteered for this, but our Lord has done this with us that it might abound to His honor and glory and praise, and that we might be helped. We might be made better by the working of our Lord. And that's connected here with this of sanctification. So we're working towards perfection, but in this body we'll never attain it, but at death we will be like Christ. And we will be with Him and we will be like Him. We're here on this third part of the article that states that it, sanctification, is begun in regeneration. And indeed it is. We've seen several doctrines and reviewed several of these articles and considered several doctrines that speak to this, about how the Lord works, how the Lord saves, how the Lord visits, how the Lord moves. And man yet has a responsibility before God, but it is the Lord's work of bringing sinners to righteousness and to salvation. Indeed, it is His work. The Lord Jesus declared it, and the Scriptures declare it. And so this of sanctification indeed is begun in regeneration. He set us apart by virtue of working in us and saving our souls. 1 John chapter 2, let's take a look at these Scriptures in 1 John chapter 2. Brother Doug has been going through the book of 1 John and these epistles of Brother John. It says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 29, "If ye know that He is righteous..." And we do know that. If you're saved, you know that He is righteous. Because it's by His righteousness that I've been saved, that you've been saved. When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness, it brings a smile to our face, doesn't it? We're thankful for it.
We look on Him that, you know, He's righteous and He knows me. He's righteous and He's touched me, changed me. And if ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. The only one that can truly do anything righteous before God, that's the standard, is indeed has to be born of the Lord. It's got to be born of Him. We've got to be of that same kind, that seed of the Spirit, if you will. In Romans 8, verse 5, we see here that the Scripture says, again, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. The flesh is death. Flesh equals death. Death equals the flesh, and sin equals death. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, if you will, do mind the things of the Spirit. And so someone that's saved is going to care about, desire for, pursue spiritual things. Spiritual things. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do about this? Lord, what would you have me to do about that? For the child of God whose heart is right, the status quo is not good enough. And it's easy for us just to fall in and lapse into the status quo. To attain of a level of obedience or holiness, righteousness that we're comfortable with and that's good enough. No, we need to be continually setting ourselves apart for our Lord in every whit of our conversation. And again, indeed, it's easy to say, but it needs to be on our hearts and our minds. It needs to be a pursuit of our life. And I tell you what, if you haven't got anything to work on the outside, I guarantee you, you've got some things to work on the inside. Okay? I know how it is to be on the inside, and it's that way. And it's that way, and we need to be even bringing every thought captive to our Lord Jesus Christ and what He would want. And so we never arrive at a point where there's nothing for us to pursue in this of sanctification. We need our Lord's help, don't we? He's helped us from the beginning. And so there is that we need to be going to our Lord in prayer indeed about the things that we need. Apprehending that for which we are apprehended, as Paul says. In John chapter 3, verse number 6, the Lord Jesus puts it simply, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And going to care about spiritual things. The flesh is going to care about fleshly things and carnal things, and the Spirit's going to care about spiritual things. It's just that way. They'll never cross. The flesh will never care about spiritual things. And the Spirit knows the things of the flesh are dead and death and in and of itself, this life and existence. We are called, you know, what is it to live spiritual? What's to take the Word of God and apply it to living life? If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, the Scripture says. And so, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This portion of the article says that this of sanctification is begun in regeneration. When the Lord touches us, saves us, He sanctifies us in that, and we are given a new heart, a different mind, and a new mind and a new man in the Lord. First, our Philippians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 9. And this I pray, the apostle writing to the church of Philippi, that your love may abound yet more and more. And look how this is worded. And this I pray, that your love may abound, grow, right? Be plentiful, be bountiful, yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. This word judgment is talking about discernment. Or proper perceiving of the way things are. He desired the members of this church, that they love may abound more and yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, discernment. Okay. I've got a note here I've wrote in my Bible some time ago that when the Lord Jesus Christ would give the word that he would give to his disciples and to the multitudes and to those that he taught and that were there around him and has heard his preaching during the day of his ministry, he would say unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, do we look into the Word of God and we say, "Oh yeah, that's a nice passage. That's put very well and pretty neat and really great." Or do we say, "You know what, I need to pursue after that more than I have." Perception. We might grow in love. Our love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve, verse 10, may approve things that are excellent. And that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. We may not be ashamed when our Lord comes. We not sin against Him. We put sin out of our lives. We our conversation be filled with the way of the Lord. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And there it is. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of righteousness. Which are by Jesus Christ, and so we need to be going to Him for help with them, don't we? To have a conscious, you know, I tell you what, and life is busy, and the world's so big, and all the things that we deal with, and then your body hurts, and you got family to raise, and you got burdens and concerns, and this, that, and the other. But we've got distraction that abounds, don't we? It's there. But we need to be thinking about also in living our life, which we must live, but we must be looking to add the fruit of the Spirit and add those things to our faith, that the fruit of the Spirit might be manifested in our lives, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. That is our goal, is to praise and honor and glorify the Lord. I very easily adapt to myself that my goal is to have it easier. Hear me? My goal for myself is to have it easier. But that's not should not be my goal. My goal is to glorify my Lord. That our goal is to glorify our Lord and be more set apart for Him. Now that's He set us apart and saved us, didn't He? We're bought with a price. We're not our own. Right? And this is from the beginning of how it is in this life when He saved us here in this life on this earth. Ephesians chapter 1, we take a look over here that this regeneration has started, or this sanctification started in regeneration. From the standpoint of this life, I think that that's what the author is speaking about. There's certainly an argument that could be made that sanctification started before time and the working of our Lord and the things that He did then. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." There's that work of the sealer that it talks about in the next portion of the article, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." And there it is, to glorify the Lord again. Let's read that again. "In whom ye also trusted." Listen to this order that is at hand. Many people get confused about many things. We learn about the Lord. We learn about the working of the Lord. But the Lord is dealing with us here in this time, in this world, in this life. "In whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth," the gospel. And that's the reason we need to preach the gospel, isn't it? "The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed." So there's that word trusting that is there. All right, and I know it's there in italics. It's been added to help us. In whom also after that ye heard the word of truth, there was a looking towards the Lord. Heard the gospel, heard the word. He brought it along. He opened the eyes. He opened the heart. We see that what he says is true. In whom also after that ye believed. So then there was a point of believing the Lord, hearing the word, receiving the word, receiving the Lord and what he says, the way he says it and the way that it is. No ifs, ands, or buts added to it. After that ye were believed, then it says ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And the great operation of God that's spoken about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, is indeed greater than we can understand. We get little glimmers and glimpses of it and the working of the Lord. But in Him dealing with us here, that's the reason we preach to sinners, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and trust in Him. Trust in Him. Receive Him. In whom that ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's that sanctification. Sanctification after faith. There's an order that's there. And then it says here about the Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment. The Spirit of God living. You have the Spirit of God living within. Have the Spirit of God living within, you're saved. Don't have the Spirit of God, God doesn't know you and you don't know God. Just that simple. It's the way it is. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. There's an inheritance that's coming until the redemption, the buying back of the purchased possession again into the praise of His glory. So sanctification indeed started at regeneration, at salvation. And from the standpoint of this life, we are set aside for our Lord. And then we come here to the fourth part of this article. It's the greatest part of it. And it says here, and that it, sanctification, is carried on in the hearts of believers by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the sealer and comforter. We've seen that about Him being the sealer. In the continual use of the appointed means. Especially the Word of God. Self-examination. We talk about self-examination when we have the Lord's Supper, don't we? And we need to be self-examining ourselves all the time. We need to introspect all the time. Also self-denial. Denying this body, denying this flesh, denying the things of the world. Watchfulness. It speaks about sobriety. True understanding of the way things are. The Lord's coming is at hand. The Lord's coming is at hand. What a terrible thing to be on the Lord Jesus come back on a time of service and it'd be a time that you and I wouldn't be in services because we're goofing off. And sometimes we get sick. Sometimes there's hindrances. But sometimes I can goof off. That'd be bad. That wouldn't be watchful, would it? Wouldn't be watchful. And, of course, prayer. Prayer is that thing, that blessing that our Lord has given that really connects things up with, I see it with our walk, our responsibility, and the greatness of God. Philippians chapter 2, let's take a look over here again. In Philippians chapter 2, there's appointed means. It's progressive, this sanctification is. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, the Scripture says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, from the inside to the outside. Let it work out. Also, be honest. Be honest with before God. Are you saved? And know that it is the Lord that saves, not we ourselves. It's not some promise, some pledge, something, but it's faith in the Lord Jesus. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We need Him working in us, don't we? We've got a responsibility to do well and to follow Him and to obey Him, but we need His help, don't we? Need His help to pin down this old man, to do this impossible thing. And we can do it with our Lord's help. We need our Lord working in us. He's worked in us to save us, hasn't He? He's worked in us to call us to His church, hasn't He? We keep getting more of the Word of God, and He stirs us and troubles us about those things, right? Or is it, have we come to a point in our life, our spiritual walk in life, that we're just kind of stagnant? It can happen, can't it? And we need to get back and seek the face of the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I'm stagnant. I'm not pursuing. I'm not following. I need You to work in me more. What did David say? Search me. Right? Purge me. Cleanse me. Right? Isn't that what David said? In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, we see here the Lord's gift to the churches. And He gave, I am God's present to you. Woe is me, some would say. And He gave some, that is the Lord, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It's the Lord's gift. There's leadership in the church. That's the way that the Lord has designed it. Yet the leader is an under-shepherd, in the case now where we're at, is an under-shepherd to the Lord. The Lord is our leader, isn't He? But there is leadership and oversight in the church, an under-shepherd. I like that way that that's referring to it. But the Lord has given this, first with the apostles, who are no more, and then prophets, who in the strictest sense are no more. We've got the complete Word of God right here. We prophesy to the extent of telling it over and over and over again, don't we? But there are no, if I come to you saying I have a new revelation from God, look out. Don't let me get away with it. Now, there are no new revelations from God. We've got it in this book. But He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists. Now, we still have that. I am told by the Word of God, and every pastor is told by the Word of God to do the work of an evangelist. And so the ones that would spread the Word of God, spread the gospel, and some pastors, pastor teachers, and indeed teachers in the church. Why? What's it go on and say, for the perfecting, for the maturity, for the growth of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. There's means in this sanctification. We're to be sanctified as a church, aren't we? We're to pursue and seek to be more sanctified individually as the children of God. We well should seek to sanctify our families unto the Lord. And we should seek to sanctify our church more unto the Lord. The Lord shows us where we've done wrong. We need to take it up to do right. Right? And if there's something that we need to adjust or change, we need to do it. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. James, when he was born, he wanted to nurse. And the child of God that's born is just looking to lap up the Word of God. If they're healthy, spiritually. And then you know what? Joseph, he doesn't do like James now, but I tell you what, it won't be long before that boy will say, I'm hungry. He wants to eat, doesn't he? And then as children of God, we need to want to eat the spiritual food that we need. We need it. He will become ill if he doesn't eat physical food. We will become ill if we don't eat physical food. And just because we start out life eating a certain way, and that changed with us as we matured. We still need to eat, don't we? Well, spiritually, we still need to eat. Have you gone for spells for weeks, days, weeks, months, years, not eating? We'd never think to do that physically. But we can sure be tempted to do it spiritually. You know what? If we don't seek to eat spiritually, there's no way we can be sanctifying ourselves more for our Lord. Right? I tell you what, I forget a lot of what I learn. I forget a lot of what I read. And we need to keep on. And so, babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word to grow. We who are older in the faith need the meat of the Word, the milk and the meat of the Word, too. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's only going to be by the Word of the Lord. See, this world has nothing to offer us that will help us to set ourselves apart more for the Lord. We can't go to the world and find out how to be more better used and more set apart for the Lord, more holy and obedient to our... We can't go to the world and find... There's no way. We've got to go to this source, to the Lord, and find out from His good Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. The apostle signs off this epistle, and he writes, "But grow in grace, grow in favor." Grow in favor. You know, that's I find that grow in favor. You know, we hold to the truth that no sinner can procure grace of the Lord by any means. That's true. There's no swapping. There's no trading, no bartering with God by the sinner to gain grace. You know, the universalists say that you can buy grace. You can get grace, okay? I'll tell you what, I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this and this passage here that I just want to throw in here to you for you to chew on. For the child of God... Okay, the apostle admonishes here, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. Grow in favor. Grow in unmerited favor, we would say, especially the sinner in need of salvation. Right? That word grace. Okay, and it's what that word means is favor. Quickly, go over here to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. For the child of God, indeed, there is a fountain of blessing at hand. And this thing of prayer, we've got, may the Lord help that we understand this and that we bring this to ourselves, especially in this of being laid before us, that we do need to be in pursuit of be more sanctified for our Lord. The Lord indeed works in us, but we are to pursue it too. And we need His help. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of favor, grace, that we may obtain mercy." Okay, mercy is defined by not getting what we deserve, right? Grace defined by getting what I don't deserve. Mercy, not getting what I do deserve. "That we may obtain mercy." Let us go to the throne of favor of our Lord, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now again, We don't come trading or paying God for anything. Okay, don't misunderstand that. But if I understand this right, there is mercy and there is grace for the child of God in the name and by the blessing and provision of our Lord Jesus Christ for the child of God. We must go to our Lord for it. Now, does He do things for us that we don't even know about that we need? Indeed, He does. But as He tries us, the Lord does try His children. The Lord does put His children to the test. He does do that. And as He would do so, or He would allow things to come into our lives that would be a challenge from us, or even turn Satan loose on us, or turn the world loose on us for the sake of refining us, well, what do we do? What do we do first? Tell you what, we need to be going to our Lord, don't we? That we might obtain mercy, that we might find grace to help in time of need. See, all of it, all of this, and every struggle, every trial, every great load, every great burden, all of it is beyond us. But by the help of our Lord can work miraculously in and through us. And we be the benefactors of it. Hear that? But grow in grace is the challenge that Brother Peter gives to us. But grow in grace. Well, how am I going to grow in grace? I can't obtain it. Well, maybe the child of God can. By going to the Lord for it. Lord, I need Your help. I need Your touch. I need Your strengthening here. I'm at a deficit in this, Lord. I need Your help in it. I mean, just being real honest, getting over praying generally with the Lord, but praying specifically unto the Lord. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. If we know about the way our Lord has designed things, and we have knowledge about the way that He says things are, it will help us, won't it? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, now and forever. Amen. We are called to grow, but we cannot grow without the touch and help of our Lord. It's not a thing that we're sent off on a journey by ourselves. Remember, the Lord's living within. And we are here really living this life. And we are to be more sanctified and set apart for Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Am I saved? I'm afraid to ask that question, Brother Jim. Don't be afraid to ask that question. Don't need to be afraid to ask that question. Lord, have You saved me? Am I saved? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Boy, that's strong, but it's necessary. It's serious. I mean, we need to know that we're saved, that the Lord has saved us, has visited us. He writes this to this church at Corinth. They've got a lot of trouble. They've got problems. They've got issues. They've got gainsayers. They've got for those faithful. And he says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. He might be speaking to those, you that are being disobedient and rebel rousers in the church that doubt my authority, the apostle would say, in dealing with you about these things, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? You got the Lord living within? But I trust, verse 6, that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Have faith in Christ, a rest and trust in Him, and a looking to Him. Someone that's not the child of God is going to be hard-pressed to sanctify themselves and pursue after the holiness of God. in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 35. Let's take a look over here. The Lord Jesus, the word of the Lord Jesus. The article says self-examination, the appointed means, especially the word of God, self-examination, self-denial, watchfulness, prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 35, take heed therefore that the light which be in thee be not darkness. Got the light of Christ? If it's not the light of Christ, indeed it is darkness. Luke 9. Luke 9. The Lord Jesus here, and it says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Following after the Lord? Is that what's first and foremost? Indeed, there's a responsibility of life, you know. We're not supposed to be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God and things spiritual so much that we don't get up and go to work. Don't go to work. If you got a job, you're supposed to go work your job. But as you go, you thank the Lord for it. Ask the Lord to help you in it. Look to be honoring to Him in it. Look to use the fruit of what He gives with that work for His honor and glory and praise, furtherance of His kingdom. You know, is there our secular life and then our religious life, or is there life that's all wound up in the Lord? I've known of folks they just can bust it up that way. Well, it's just life that I live Monday through Saturday, and then there's my religious life. No, there's supposed to be life all wrapped up in the Lord, every whit of it. And how is it with us, with you? In Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26, take a look here. There's means in this sanctification. There's that which we are to pursue. We're to look to our Lord. We're to go to Him and ask Him to work in us. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And here it is. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that is so true. It is the truth indeed. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, we can't do it through the flesh, can we? See, that's the thing. We cannot do it through the flesh. But the Lord can help us do the impossible that He's called us into. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, the Scripture says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, that's supplicating for self. Lord, I need your help. Supplicating for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Supplicating for the sinner that needs the Lord as Savior, right? We supplicate, intercede, intercessory affair. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, what's important to the Lord? There's nothing wrong with baseball, but is baseball important to the Lord? You see what I'm saying? Or you know, am I spending my time thinking about souls and the spiritual needs of those that I know about that are having struggles and problems, or the spiritual need of salvation, or those that are without Christ, or the need of our church. To, you know, and of course, as pastor, I'm supposed to be thinking about those things and praying about those things, aren't I? But how is it in our life? When we, as the apostle writes, and I need to look up this scripture again. I think it's in first or second. I think it's in 2 Corinthians. It's the paraphrase is this: when I look onto the face, when I look onto a person, when I look onto a person, I don't think about how they look, or what they drive, or what they own, or what their influence is or isn't, what their connections are. He says, when I look on at a person, I don't look at about all the stuff that's connected with them about this life. I look on at them and I look what's going on with their soul. Because that's the most important thing. I may have some business to do with them and need to do that well and look to do a good thing, good work, good business. But what's the most important? Is it their spiritual condition? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll close with this article and this portion of the article. Sanctification is carried out in the hearts of believers by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We can avail ourselves to the presence and power of the Spirit, or we can do otherwise, can't we? The sealer, the comforter, and the continual use of appointed means, especially the Word of God, self-examination, taking that Word of God and reflecting it, looking at self, self-denial, not going after the way of the world and the easy way, the way that the flesh wants to go, watchfulness and prayer. In Ephesians 4:30, we have this admonition, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We can do it, can't we? We can grieve Him. And we're called not to. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed, as we've seen earlier, unto the day of redemption. He's that earnest that's been given to us until we're saved completely. This old flesh, this a new man or a new body is given like Christ. Also, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we'll add this, don't quench the Spirit either, because I can do it. And we don't need to quench the Spirit with our sin. Sanctification. Be a partaker of the Lord's holiness. Find out what it is and obey Him in it. Find out what it is that the Lord wants you to lay down and lay aside from what it says in His Word. Ask Him for help. Some things come easy and are very, it's just that easy to make the change. Other things are just wrestle and wrangle with it for a lifetime. But the Lord can help us. We have that of prayer that we can go to our Lord. He knows what it is. He knows how to help us. He knows how to heal us. He knows how to strengthen us. He knows how to bless us in those things. And the impossible thing, how can I do it? I can't. Well, you can't do it. It's only with the Lord that you can. It's only with the Lord that this old flesh can be mortified. May the Lord help us in these things.